Hello, ladies. This is a chapter which I think it's easy for us to think applies more to our husbands than to us, especially the part about earning money, since most of us probably do not work outside of our homes. However, I think it's a very important chapter for us because certainly our attitude toward our work in the home can greatly affect our husband's attitude toward his work and his efficiency in doing his work outside the home. And our attitude toward money and our wise or flagrant use of it affects greatly our husband's outlook toward money. Is he working more and longer hours to meet your growing list of wishes and demands? Ladies, are you making it easier or more difficult for him to be financially responsible? My husband's father used to say that if you are not making ends meet, you have two choices. You either cut back or you work harder and make more. Are you working diligently at making the money your husband earns go as far as possible? Are you putting him under undue pressure or in real financial bondage because of your desires or demands? If you do work outside your home and you have a husband and a family, let me just share a few thoughts with you on what someone has called the trap of the working wife. It's easy to be deceived in this matter and to fool ourselves into thinking that it's more profitable than it really is. For instance, let me just give you some of the possible high costs that are involved in the working wife. It will place you in a higher tax bracket, for one thing. It will bring added babysitter costs if you have children. It's very possible that it will deflate your husband's ego, that it will bring on health problems due to pressure, that it will increase your food budget because of your use of more instant foods. And certainly there's also the danger of having, quote, your money and my money. And then, ladies, there's the very real danger, the increased possibility of an affair. Well, after earning the money, then saving and spending and giving are the key uses of the money that we acquire. Proverbs 21:20 says, "A wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets." How are you doing on saving? Are you diligent in helping your husband with this? One real thing we need to watch in this regard is watch impulse spending. Pay cash is another good principle. What are some reasons for saving? Let me just give you a few. Saving makes us more available to God. It provides for emergencies. And then it also allows us to help others. In spending, we can protect our incomes by planning and by not getting financially exposed and by buying wisely. Proverbs 16:9 gives us a good word on planning to spend. It says we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. Ladies, this means that we're going to have to budget, that we make out a budget. We need to list our needs in order of their importance. And let me challenge you to discontinue any services not needed. For instance, how many magazines do you buy each month that you are not reading? This is a service that you can discontinue. Make planning a family affair. There should be no hidden budgets. Be realistic in your goals and objectives. For instance, obviously you are not going to undo in 2 months what has taken you 4 years to get into. Keep records. The primary cause of overspending is a lack of records. And every person in the family needs a personal allowance so that they may have some discretionary money that they can spend. It doesn't have to be much, but it needs to be fair. Proverbs 22:7 stresses not getting financially exposed. It says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Don't loan money. That's the job for the banks and the loan companies. You'll only lose friends if you do this. If a friend has a need and it's essential, then give it to him. Don't loan it to him. And girls, another thing is that we need to stay out of debt on high depreciating items. And we live in such a charge-conscious economy that we are taught it on every side. Want it? Charge it. or fly now, pay later sort of thing. But any item which you cannot sell for more than you owe on it is a high depreciating item, and that's the kind of thing that you should unload. Such things as campers and boats and trailers and motorhomes do not go in debt for high depreciating items. In fact, there really are only three things that you should go in debt for, and that's a house, life insurance, or borrowing for the business. Very interesting thing came out in a little thing called Publication to Credit Managers. And I quote, many reasons are given for bad debts, and listed are some of those reasons. One, widespread easing of credit terms without investigation. Two, people living beyond their income. Three, people who are buying too far ahead with no planning for emergencies. Four, people who have no sales resistance and yield to impulse buying. Five, people with no ability to handle finances. And six, merchants overloading the customer beyond his ability to pay. Ladies, let me challenge you to close your charge accounts and destroy your credit cards. Now, I know that that goes against the grain of the American public, and we've been brought up with charge accounts. But I would just say that before I was married, I worked with many, many single girls, and then since I've been married, I've worked with many married girls. And I do not know but one in all that time that I feel could really handle a charge account and not have it take control of her at some point. I certainly am not one. And there is always that temptation to buy even things that we can justify and think are essential if we have a charge account. But most of the time, we buy things that we could do without. And you know, God has promised to provide for our needs. He says in Philippians 4:19, we are assured that my God shall supply all your needs, and we need to wait for God to provide. And don't presume on his grace. Don't try to put him in a corner. Matthew 4, 6, and 7 is a good verse on that. And Psalm 19:13 warns us, keep thy servant back from presumptuous sins. As far as buying, we need to buy wisely. We need to build sales resistance. Do you know what sales resistance is? It is the ability to postpone pleasure when necessary. And if you're an impulsive buyer, this is a good little couplet. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. This is something we frequently hear around our house, and many, many other people are quoting it these days. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. And in buying, we need to be sure we get the facts. Madison Avenue really pulls the wool over our eyes many times, doesn't it, with advertising. Proverbs 23:23 in the Living Bible says, get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to all the good sense you can get. Ask yourself, does what you are going to buy do what it claims to do? Would your use of it justify the purchase of it? Check your house and just see how much junk you have, which you don't have any use for. Are you buying more than you need, either in quality or in quantity? Are you buying at the best price? And another thing, ladies, remember that a bargain is no bargain if you don't need it. So watch out for bargains. Friend husband often reminds me, honey, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And then what about giving? Well, give wisely. Where should you give? I think you should give, and the scripture indicates certainly that you should give where you are getting help, Galatians 6:6. And the Williams translation says, for those who are taught the truth should share all their goods with the man who teaches them. And then we should give to the poor. Proverbs 19:17 in the Living Bible says, when you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he pays wonderful interest on your loan. Isn't that good? And then give where you believe God will get the best return. For instance, if you're giving to an organization, I think you should ask these questions. Are they communicating a message true to the scriptures? Are people responding positively to the message? Are the lives of the leadership illustrations of the message? Is the organization reproducing itself? Is there a standard of excellence along with a freedom from waste? Maybe you're wondering why we should give. God commands it. It's good for us. Others are blessed. And according to the scriptures, we get prayed for when we give and God gets thanked. And those are good reasons, aren't they? And how should we give? The scriptures indicate that we should give regularly, proportionately, cheerfully, and generously. Well, in the light of these thoughts, ladies, you'll have some concrete questions to answer as you discuss your financial situation with your mate. And it's my prayer, dear ones, that whatever you agree together needs to be changed, that you will set about changing it immediately. And remember, ladies, use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without.